Praise the Lord. We are on a 21-day journey. Where are we traveling to? We are traveling to meet the Lord. We are traveling to meet the Lord. It's an annual program. Amen. I'm aware that I've spent long enough in this ministry, also in Christianity generally, to see that we have different groups of believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime we organize program for Bible study, for instance, not too many people will show up. But if we organize a deliverance program, you will see the number of people that, in fact, if you don't come in time, you will not get a seat in this whole big auditorium. Even if you say that 21 days night vigil for deliverance, everybody go come. 21 days, no sleep. Amen. Well, like I used to tell you, in this ministry, just like we know it is with the Lord, generally, He has everything for everyone that comes to Him. Whatever you are looking for, if you come to Him, He will give you. That's why I love this Jesus so much. It's not partial. It is what you want, He will give you. And the reason why you come to God determines how you follow Him. Especially in this ministry. There are some people that come here. The reason they are coming here is because they have a problem. And anyway, they talk, now you sabi, now that problem. And they have given God ultimatum. If I stay for this church, reach like 4 months, and this thing not change, I go another church. So anytime they sit down, then they warn them. If you want me today, hear me, answer me. 4 months reach, you know, see, which kind of church be this? Oh yeah, where will I go? Praise the Lord. Amen. But one thing that I am so confident of, as sure as I know God exists, I also know that there are people that come to this church because they want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. How many of them are here now? I put down your hand now. I didn't say everybody put up your hand. So people, you don't see somebody and they anoint people like this. Don't stand up today. Say, where are they going? Anoint. See. Amen. All right. See. I am sure there are people that want to go to heaven. I am sure. It's not by vision. You see, pastor, not by vision in the sea, preach. Now prophets in the sea for vision, they give message. Me, my own, I waiting at the sea, koro, now they take do message. If I jam you for bus stop, you dress like prostitute, just be sure the next service, I go talk them. If I, your wife call report to me, say you beat them for house, for sure, the next service, I go talk them. Now God go help me where I don't go call your name. Now my own be that. Praise the Lord. So when I say I am sure there are people that want to go to heaven, it's because of what I have observed. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. When it's time for Bible study, there are some people that, if you like, do anything, chap, they don't want to miss any verse. Service starts 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, they're already here. And if some of them, if they tell you where they are coming from, I'm telling you, the day I went to visit a brother in Shango. In just the talk saying there's Shango. Now when you read Shango, now the journey starts. Praise the Lord. I asked him, I said, is this where you will come to church? He said, yes. They have never been late. So I had to ask, how do you do it? He said, they wake up 4 a.m. to prepare. I felt so challenged that day. God will use them to judge some of us. Some of us are not serious at all. But it depends on what you are looking for from God. It depends on the relationship you have with God. It determines how you walk with Him. That means how you walk with Him. Can you be a Christian or you're a member of a church? Service has started 1 hour ago. And then you are just strolling in. Some 2 hours ago, you are just strolling in. And you don't feel guilty. You don't feel anything. You just walk and come and just sit down and then go. And no, listen, church. The greatest gift that God can give anybody is eternal life. He says, what shall it profit a man? Profit a woman. You gain the whole world, have all that you have on earth, and you lose your soul. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And if truly you want to go to heaven, because you want to go to heaven, God made you to locate a church where the pastor himself has decided, this heaven, I must go. Hey, this heaven, I will go. If you doubt, when you get there, look for me, whether you not go see me. I must be there. Oh, certain. 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 And people who have taken a decision that I take, the approach towards worshiping God, serving God, is different. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Whenever there is anything you are in need of, let's those of us who went to school and we determined that when we go there, we will pass. We have gone to pass. There's a young girl that got first class in her degree, one of the private universities, and they say her result was the best nationally in that course. Now they were asking her, you're such a young girl and you got first class. I was reading the paper, they were interviewing her. They said, how did you achieve it? She said that as soon as she gained admission, she entered the school, she said she determined that she has come here to get a first class degree. And they say, but you are young. Didn't you have friends? Were you people not going out? Were you just reading? He said she had friends. But at any time they come and tell her, let's go and do this. He said she will remind them, that is not what I came here to do. I say, oh, may God give me such a daughter. Oh, that is the truth. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. He said, this, she said, this is not what I came here to do. So, she knew what she was looking for. She's not a follow. There are people that go to Christ and they, what are you looking for? Determines who you even associate with, even as church members. That you are going to the church, same church with me, does not make me, it does not make you my friend that I associate with you. I will associate only with anybody that will help me in my spiritual life. The reason is because I want my spiritual life to be uplifted. If you come and visit me, and after you leave, I am battling out of the flesh. You came and sowed the gossip and then made me to begin to think evil of somebody, and then all you visited me is then say, then do, then not do. And this one, you know, see the way they dress, then just they finish you anywhere you go, then they talk. You see that lagbaja, you will get too close, right? Go finish you. Make me up for this church. Are they here before you? Now, cha-cha-cha-cha, they thread, though. Make you the day that they see you with this one, see you with this one. And by the time you go finish, he has baptized you with another spirit. Such a person, when you come, no grief. That you, when this church started, there is one couple that any time they visit me, that is all they've been talking. Praise the Lord. So when you come to Christ, now why I'm saying this is because anytime you are about to do anything that will uplift you spiritually, there are carnal people around you that will discourage you. We are starting our consecration. It is an individual affair. Don't listen to that person say, "Oh boy, how you do that? My body just they shake since morning. Are you able to carry it?" That's how it starts. How you do? I beg. How you do? Me, my own, when I read 12 o'clock, my body just they shake. You fit? Ah, did they try you? Then the next thing is, but this thing is by grace now. It's by grace now. You see 21 day passing for Bible. Ah, this one I church yourself. Well, I go try, sir, to see whether he has recruited you to be among the falling ones, to join him to fall. And if you no agree, answer him, you go see as he will attack you throughout that week. And now not the spiritual people. I greet and say, "You no answer me, they answer me anyhow." Now me make you the fast. All funny talk. You don't listen to them. They are the Amalekites on the way. They are the Moabites on the way. They are the Philistines on the way to disturb you from reaching your promised land. Praise the Lord. We are going into consecration. Can we just open Joshua chapter 3? One verse. They're about to cross the river. Amen. This is what Joshua told them. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5. Are we ready? And Joshua said unto the people, verse 5, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Can we read it again? This time, can you touch your neighbor? Because you are going to say it to your neighbor. Touch your neighbor by your side. Verse 5. Amen. And Joshua said unto the people, shall we read it now? From sanctify. Let's read from sanctify. Tell your neighbor, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Oh yeah, another neighbor. From sanctify. Shall we go? Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I believe God is going to do wonders in you. I believe it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said tomorrow, but our own will be after 21 days. Sanctify yourself. What is the meaning of sanctification? To sanctify yourself is to take an inward look. It's a period of consecration. To sanctify yourself is to set yourself aside for the Lord's use. That's the meaning of sanctification. To be cleansed and set aside. That is the meaning of sanctification. To be cleansed and set aside for God's purpose. And what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a summary. In summary, what it simply means is the action of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the great eternal spirit, coming to dwell in his purchased possession to make you the temple of God. And we know that God cannot come and dwell in an unclean vessel. And when we say uncleanness, we are Christians. We know what uncleanness is all about. Anything that God abhors is unclean. Every abomination is unclean. Uncleanness from your lips. The things that you say, even Jesus had to break it down to those religious Pharisees, that it is not what enters your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth. Why? Because what comes out of your mouth comes first from the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you can stay here and you have taken your bath and you are wearing starch cloth and you have put on the perfume and you are shining physically, and yet if your heart is polluted before God, you are unclean. You see? So we look outward. God looks inward to your heart. So, and that is where God is interested in. Sanctification, therefore, consecration, therefore, is a period to look at all the nyama nyama that makes you a carnal Christian instead of a spiritual Christian. And take a decision. God cannot come and dwell with you in me. The Holy Ghost is coming to dwell inside of me. He is not coming to dwell and share this temple with any of these nyama nyama spirits. Throughout these 21 days, one prayer point: cleaning up yourself. Cleaning up yourself. I don't have time to preach on that. We'll talk more on it. Maybe next week. Every Christian knows the benefit of fasting. Fasting is your own way of putting this flesh under so that your spirit man can come up. One thing is this: we have the flesh, which is the carnal man, and the spirit man. And whoever is on top is the one that rules. Apostle Paul said that he died daily. And all he tries to do is to put his body under. To put your body under. The only way you check this body is to fast frequently. To fast frequently. I'm telling you that there are some prayers that when you want to pray, I told you something that the Holy Ghost was ministering to me one time when he said that prayer is supposed to be an axe that you use to deal with a matter. Like you used to cut up on 133. You use an axe. He said, but an axe that is not sharpened, it takes more effort than an axe that has been sharpened. And he said, prayer is sharpened by your fast. And that's the reason why he even said, some demons, you can't even cast them out except by fasting and prayer. Why? Because the more you fast, the stronger your spirit man becomes. If you have a spiritual fast. I'm not talking about hunger strike. There is hunger strike. Where you don't get money to buy food to eat. Or somebody vex you. Out of that vex, you say you're not going to chop in food again. Your wife abused you. As you don't bring chop money. She struggle, prepare food finish. You know, some women are like that. Eh? If you are, you see, say, now she work, bring that money to prepare that food. Be very careful throughout that period until you finish eating that food. Just until you chop and finish. No matter what she said, the food don't enter your body. You see that, fold your hand for sitting room, she there for parlor. Now she go market, now she have money, now she use everything. And then you begin to say, how long? Now that food is taking too long. You will drop everything there, come meet you for parlor. If it finish with you, all the hunger will disappear. The appetite for food will go. Anyway, if there is such a sister here, I'm sorry I'm talking about you. So you come back and say, I don't chop that food again. The second day you don't chop. Don't be saying you get money to eat anywhere else. Out of anger. Now that is not fast. Then your wife come meet you and say, I don't finish the food. Or you say, thank you, and they fast. Now lie, don't be fast. Your hunger strike. I'm talking about fast that you decided. At least in church, every fast must go with a purpose. Every fast must go with a purpose. This is the reason I am fasting, Lord. And tell the Lord that you are going to fast. And tell the Lord, I don't start. So that when you finish, you go tell the Lord, say, okay, I don't finish. This is the reason I am fasting. And one fast that God honors very well is a fast for self-consecration. Because this flesh separates us very easily, cuts us off from the spirit. You know now, this flesh, when Christ will make that statement that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what he means by that? Today, one prayer point we are going to pray, give me the power to conquer my flesh and mention all the weaknesses you have that you want God to deal with it during this period. One weakness, some of us, is that we cannot do without food for a whole day. I go die. Some people have never fasted up to 12 o'clock. So when they hear that some people fast 3 days a night, dry fasting, no food, no water, they say, you be a normal person. The truth is this, there is nobody that undertakes any spiritual exercise for a spiritual advantage that ever dies because of that spiritual exercise. Lie. Nobody dies because of fasting. Nobody. And you that say, me, I cannot fast. Don't say you cannot fast. Say, I have not fasted. I've not fasted. Because every human being can fast. The condition, your own condition, never reach yet. That's why. You never jam problem. That is why you not feel fast. There are some problems that come upon you. Nobody will tell you to fast. Even the appetite for the food will die. And you say you not feel fast. No. Wait first. Till the condition come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know sometimes you want to start a fast. This flesh is the greatest enemy you have. If you can conquer your flesh, you can conquer any demon. And your weakness, spiritual weakness, is first and foremost, announce, you see the evidence that you are weak by your inability to tell yourself, no, I will not do this for this period. When you stand up in the morning and you say, before by night, today till evening, I'm not going to chop. And you are able to carry on like that till the end of that day and take that fast from 6 a.m. till 6 in the evening, and you succeeded, I am telling you, when you break the fast, rejoice, because you have just won a battle over your flesh. Because this flesh, as soon as you make up your mind that today I go fast from 6 till tomorrow morning, 24 hours, another chop. 6 o'clock you wake up, as you brush finish, they go. Anywhere food today, you go smell them. This, your flesh will contact it. And water will fill your mouth. And before you know what, your stomach will begin to turn. When you ignore it, it will bite harder. Until your body will start to shake as if you will fall down. It's a lie. Let me tell you, watch it. Try it. Ignore it for some time. Tell him you are wasting your time. And take your mind away from the hunger. And begin to think of some other things. Very soon you will recognize, you will soon see that that thing when they do blue, 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 it don't stop. It don't stop. Oh, your body when they shake, it don't stop. You go even ask, where that thing where they disturb me sees? As he sees, say, you know, win. Then he say, oh yeah, carry go. Those who don't try fasting, you know, when you say 3 days, no food, maybe even no water. You know, the first day, by the time you enter the second day, come and see how your body will shake. Eh? You'll be seeing stars. You'll be seeing hallucinations. Whether a vision you see. Whether they see, whether people they walk upside down. That's the second day. But that hunger that wants to kill you, by the time you reach the third day, bam, no hunger again. Strength, as if you have been eating. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, medically also, this is how it happens. Medically, I'm not a medical doctor, but at least this one, an ABC of our anatomy. Now we have the enzymes for digestion in the stomach. So, nothing to digest. When there is nothing to digest, they give you signal, say, I'm free. So, when you don't receive the food, they will knock your belly. Excuse me, we need food. We want work. So, when they see, say, they trouble you, and there is no food, the external food coming to them, by the second day, they say, Bila, say, if we wait for this food to come from us, I know go come. Then they go to the reservoir. And it is that time they are eating from reservoir that you have your peace. They turn to the other side, wherever there is anything remaining anywhere. Praise the Lord. Was it not in Haiti? Is it Haiti? Where they had that earthquake? I think one young girl, small girl, was in those rubbles for so many, I think 8 days or so. And she was brought out alive under the rubble, squeezed like that. She could not move anything for 8 days. No food, no water. They just located her in their search and rescue. For 8 days, no food, no water, under pains, rubbles was upon her. 8 days. She didn't die. Nobody will die by this 21-day fasting in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you a story to give you confidence. 2 years ago, a brother said in his life he has never fasted. So when we declared this fast, he was a new member. He said, how is it possible? But he came testifying that for 21 days, 6 to 6, that he did it. And he saw the benefits. He thought it is not possible. But it is possible. More so, this one is not even a serious fast. It is only 6 to 6. Tell your neighbor, 6 to 6. 6 to 6. 66. You are free to drink water. You'll be walking, you'll be going to your work, so you'll be dehydrated, so you will need water. Only water, excuse me, water. Excuse me, I didn't say drink liquid, I say water. Don't drink Coke or Zobo. Don't drink any juice, so I say water. Don't add anything on top of that water. Don't color it, don't add anything. Only water for 21 days. One prayer point, or rather two prayer points. Lord, make me to be a Christian. Make me more like you. The songwriter says, make me more like you. Jesus, make me more like you.
Give me the heart that's filled with love.
Make me more like thee. You see? King David saw how tattered he was spiritually. How carnal he was. In Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Cast me not away. Your prayer point is, this is my earnest cry.
This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh, Lord, I pray.
My earnest cry.
This is my
lying. That's the thing that will make you know you need God, you need Him. I'm a Christian. Everybody knows my environment here that I'm a Christian. Yet, there are secret sins I am still involved in. Who am I pretending to? Before God or man? Lord, take this thing away from me. Up to now, if I see woman, my body go charge. I feel very much ashamed. A Christian shouldn't be like this. Father, take this nature away from me. Imagine I'm a Christian. I cannot kneel down and pray for 1 hour. Father, I need you. I need you. That's the kind of prayer you pray throughout this period. Father, anytime I lie down to sleep in my dream, then they say, pursue me. When will I turn and pursue them? Lord, that means I am weak. Very, very weak. Father, I lie down in my room. I wake up like this. I see witch carry nail. They tear me. Share your Bible. The Bible says the angel of the Lord then come round about me. We are the angels. Where we are there. When this witch you can't do, it means I have committed something. These angels are no more with me. Father, return them. Enter your house. Maybe not this the way they, this house. Carry out. Throw away. Every ungodly thing in your house, take it. Throw away. And those of us that you know that people are owing you, you are disturbing people who owe you. If it's a debt that you can forgive, go and meet the person. I beg, I dash you. Carry, go. It is a time for amnesty. Let go. Forgive. If you think person is still there with you, return them. If you fear, keep them somewhere where you go see them. Carry it. Return it. You know, this is what we shall use these 21 days to do. Check your spiritual life. It's very easy. The works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. That's the thing you will fight in the battle. That's the battle you will fight. Galatians. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Verse 16. This is how he put it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He said, for the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the things you are going to fight, known as the works of the flesh, he said, they are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. It's a work of the flesh. These are the enemies you'll be confronting. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. You say, can a Christian be a witch? Yes. There are witches that are going to church. And what is witchcraft? Witchcraft is the art of manipulating somebody to do something against his will for you at your bidding. So, some wives are witches to their husbands, and some husbands are witches to their wives. By the way, you manipulate one another at home, you are a witch. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He told the Galatian church, he also told the Corinthians church, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He also told them, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And please, what is the definition of the kingdom of God? It's in twofold. We are experiencing the kingdom of God now, and there is the kingdom of God that is to come, which is the millennium. And when the Bible, the songwriter spoke about the foretaste of glory. He said, what a foretaste of glory divine. That is testing the glory that is awaiting us in advance. Apostle Paul gave us the definition of what the kingdom of God is. What is the kingdom of God? In Romans 14 verse 17, he said the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you are a Christian and you are still battling to live a life that is pleasing before God, you are not yet in the kingdom. If you're a Christian and everywhere around you is trouble, 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 you don't have peace, you are not yet in the kingdom. You don't have joy in your life, you are not yet in the kingdom. And please, when I say peace, I am not talking about frustrations of life. I am saying in an estate, just like righteousness, in the midst of all perversions everywhere, you refuse to join the world and live a life that is pleasing before God. How do you do it? It is by an enablement that comes from God. Secondly, you are saying see all the trouble. House rent, you cannot pay. Your children's school fees, you cannot pay. Frustrations everywhere. But when somebody looks at you, he still sees peace all around you. He still sees joy around you. That's why he said, it's righteousness, it's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is such that is enabled by the Holy Ghost. He said, you cannot experience that if you do these things. That is what he's saying. Now, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals and lesbians, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see? And since you want to inherit the kingdom of God, if you are guilty of any of this, you are not confessing it to the pastor. So you should not be ashamed over it. It's between you and God. Be sincere enough to kneel down and say, God, I know that I don't tell you. I know, say you know. You know, you see everything. That time when I go sleep with that prostitute that day, I don't say you see me. I don't say you see me. That's why they do it every time. Maybe that is why there's no peace around me. I can't even sleep in the night. Because the wicked runneth when no one pursued. No peace. You know, saying commit. One psalm for sanctification, for consecration in the Bible is Psalm 119. Every verse in Psalm 119 is for self-consecration. So let it be your prayer, verse by verse. Pray that prayer in Psalm 119, the whole psalm. Take some today, continue tomorrow, continue because it's a very long psalm. I think it's 150 verses. Just take some today, tomorrow, take some. Don't just read it. Personalize it and mean it. Personalize it and mean it. What we are saying is for 21 days we shall be facing our spiritual life. Some of us, we want restoration. You know what you used to be before? Just meditate and see from what point you began to degenerate, to backslide. And ask the Lord, I know this is what caused this. Forgive me, Lord, and restore me. When you pray this prayer, then you position yourself ready for the fire that will fall down during the baptism of the Holy Ghost program. All this is to prepare to receive that fire. And some of you, even during that period, you will receive visitations. Those angels that you used to see before that stopped coming, they will now come back. That voice you used to hear before, you begin to hear it again. Just begin. The angel will come back and confirm to you he's back. When it's time for prayer, he will tap you. Tap you. Oh yeah, wake up and pray. Praise the Lord. Always learn to put God first in everything you do. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, the Bible says, acknowledge him. When you acknowledge him, you say, he will direct your path. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And please stop dining. There is an adage that says, when you dine with the devil, he said, when you eat with the devil, he says you eat with what? A long spoon. The question I ask is, why will you eat with the devil at all? I don't like that adage. Why should you eat with the devil at all? And I received a text. I don't know where it came from. Maybe one of those watching us, or is a member. I don't know. He said, I am 17 years old, a girl. She said, I have a boyfriend, but we don't do anything to defile ourselves. He said, and he does not disturb me from reading my Bible or my spiritual life. He said, but I love him and he loves me. He said, we have tried to keep relationship very clean. And she said, have I committed sin by having such a relationship? Praise the Lord. Who are you deceiving? Who are you deceiving? Sister, if you are a Christian, if you are not ready for marriage, why are you entering into a relationship with a man? What for? I replied her. I said, at the age of 17, if I were you, I will concentrate on my future. First, my education, and avoid these distractions of boyfriend, girlfriend. I said, if you were my daughter, I would be very angry with you. I would deal with you very well for keeping a boyfriend at age 17. So I replied her. I said, that which your parents will not sanction is sin also before God. It's true. Why are you tempting yourselves? Now, not even only that. There are even matured Christians that undergo relationship. You get so close until you are risking temptations. A man and a woman with very hot spirit and hot blood and hot body. They say, I have the Holy Ghost. You are my Christian sister. You have Holy Ghost, Abby? Amen. Praise the Lord. Stop it. I say stop it. And I've told you, before you beat your chest and say you are not, I am not a fornicator. I am not a thief. I am not a liar. I am not. Before you say I am not, be sure that you have escaped like Joseph escaped. That you got yourself cornered before a girl. And you had all the opportunity. All everything offered to you free. No charge. Free. And you still looked at it. And you walked away. The reason you walked away is not because she's not beautiful. It's not because she is sick. But you walked away because you feel as a Christian, I should not defile myself. When you do that, then announce to the whole world that you are not a fornicator. So wait until then. Because I've had so many such testimonies. And please, stop this stupid vow some believers make. Out of excitement of the new birth, fire still they burn. Out of that, then you say, Father, the day I open my leg for any man, Father, that day, smack me dead. I vow, I will never open my leg for anybody. Father, the day that I open my leg for any man, that day, Papa, kill me. Kill me, oh, kill me. Amen. And Satan will say, Amen. From that day, assignment starts on you. Now let me quickly advise you. Church, something that you know is already bad and God hates, why are you making a vow and laying a curse on yourself over it? You don't need it. Already God does not want you to fornicate. It's enough. It is bad. Why are you vowing not to do any bad thing? If I do that bad thing that day, then God kill me. The type of vow you will have made is, Lord, I want to remain poor. The day anybody give me money and I collect, Father, kill me that day. That's better. Stop that vow. Because I know so many people. I'm a pastor. We hear things. That out of the pressure. And when you do that, God himself purposely allows you to be tried. Let me see whether you mean it. The Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. And this Satan, he has 6,000 years experience in dealing with man. He knows how to make everybody fall. So what we do is to remain on the side of the Lord. Watch and pray. He said, flee. So when you see it, you run. And not to say, me, you can't touch me. I have made a vow. Lie, lie. Then you are going like this. Lie, lie. Lie, lie, can't touch me. Lie, lie, I'm a Christian. Here, mama, so tagbara, satara, mama. I'm a Christian. Nothing like that. Don't do that. Run! When you see them, they come. Run.